We're in a series right now just called Hearing God. He speaks, and he always has, he always will, because he says that he doesn't change. And so we know that he is a speaking God, and he always will. But we need to believe that he speaks if we're going to be able to hear God. I think for some Christians, it's easier to believe that God doesn't speak, because if he speaks, he may interfere with their life. He may try to change their plans or maybe even correct them in some way. Last week, the focus of the message was our relationship with the Lord. There really isn't any kind of magic formula about hearing from God. It is all about a relationship. A relationship. You know, the Christian life is about a relationship. It's not about, you know, just being religious or just going through certain rituals or just I have certain beliefs. It is about a real relationship with a living Lord, being a believer. I tell you, it's not just knowing about God. It is knowing him personally. And we need to seek him, not just as a way, you know, another way to get what we want. But we need to seek him just to have that closeness with him and to truly draw near to him. Our time with the Lord should be more about our love for God than it is about what we want from him. I'm going to say that again. Our time with the Lord should be more about our love for God than it is about what we want from him. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 in the NIV says this, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? He has such a strong desire for God. He says, my soul thirsts for God. There ought to be a lot of that going on in our land. My soul thirsts for God. This wasn't some reprobate that didn't know God. But he says, my soul thirsts for God. When can I go and meet with God? You see, we need that kind of desire to meet with God. Just to go meet with God. To have a time and a place that I can meet with God. To experience that closeness with him. And to hear his voice. That's a real relationship. But if we want to live in all that God has for us, if we want victory in our lives, if we want to be right where the Lord wants us to be, doing the things that God wants us to be doing, if we want to be more effective in what we do for the Lord, we need to hear his voice clearly. But how much heartache would it save us in our personal lives if we heard from God? How much blessing would it bring in our life if we heard from God? I want you to understand, the one thing that we really need is to hear from God. You know, we all face all kinds of situations in life. We need to know what to do. There's big decisions and small decisions. And I want to tell you, there's somebody that has the answers for all of them. He knows. What we need to do is to learn to hear from God. I mean, he knows the answers to the questions that we don't even know to ask. Luke chapter 5 tells us that Jesus had a large crowd that wanted to hear the word. It actually says, they wanted to hear the word of God. They had the right attitude. They wanted to hear the word of God. But there was such a crowd, and the crowd pressed upon him, that Jesus gets in Simon Peter's boat and sits down to teach this huge crowd. And after he teaches, he tells Simon, he says, put your boat out in the deep and let down your net. Now, I know many of you know the story, but Simon Peter says, "Lord, we fished all night and caught nothing." You see, Peter and his partners there, they were fishermen by trade. They weren't like some of us, you know, go do a little fishing for fun. I hope they enjoyed their work, but they weren't doing it just for fun. They were doing it to make a living. And he says, "We fished all night and caught nothing." I want you to know that's a really bad night of fishing. Work all night and had no pay. That's not a good night. But he says, "But Lord, at your word, I will let down the net." He lets down the net. And the net is so full of fish, they call their partner boat to come over. They fill both boats completely with fish until they start to sink. I tell you, the terrible night just turned into the best morning of fishing ever. How did this happen? He got a word from God, let down the net. I just want you to know, the Lord knows where the fish are. Here's a side note for you. Simon Peter worked all night, but he stayed up to go to church. That's right. You want the Lord to bless your business? Then you put God first and you do what he says. That's what Peter did. He did what he said and God blessed him. That's how that happened. And I tell you, see, so often if we just hear the word of the Lord and do what he says, it'll bring great blessing on our life. But we need to see this also. Peter never asked Jesus, you know, "Hey, Lord, could you bless our fishing?" He didn't say, "Hey, Lord, where's the fish? Where are the fish out here? You know where they are." He didn't even ask. Jesus knows the answers to the questions we don't even know to ask. But what we need is to hear him. And when we hear God, it changes everything. And we need to understand this, that there is the written word of God that reveals the will of God to us. And in the original Greek text, that word for word is logos. It's talking about the whole word of God, the written word of God. This is the logos of God. And you know what? We need to know the logos, the written word of God. But when the Lord spoke to Peter, that was the spoken word of God. In the Greek text, it is the rhema. It is that spoken word. You see, Peter heard Jesus tell him, "Let down your nets." And he did what he heard. You see, he responded to that spoken word, that rhema word. He goes out a little deeper. He catches this great catch of fish. Now, that doesn't mean that every time you go fish, you need to let down your net and you're going to fill your boat with fish. That's not what that means. I want you to understand that because I don't want you to sell your rod and reel and buy you a net. You're going to be big disappointed. You know what I'm saying? You need to understand. You see, that was a rhema word for Peter. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't mean anything for us. It certainly does. It teaches us that when, if we'll just hear God and do what he says, something will happen. God will move. Things will break free, break loose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, that's what that teaches us. But, you know, people get kind of silly with the Bible sometime. And, you know, that I can just see some people getting them a net. In the name of Jesus. Listen, if God tells you to get a net, get a net. But that was a rhema word for Peter at that time. And we need to understand how important it is that we get that rhema word, that we hear the voice of God, that he speaks to us also. We need the written word of God, the logos. I mean, the scripture tells us that we're to meditate his word day and night. You see, we need this. We ought to be learning it, memorizing it, putting it down in our heart. Amen. All the time. that we're staying in the Word. We're getting as much of it as we can. Because in these pages, in the Word of God, He tells us how to live. He tells us how to do life. He tells us how to handle our finances, how to do marriage, how to raise your kids, how to, you know, do business, how to treat people. So much, all through the Word of God, He tells us how to live and what to do. But sometimes, you see, sometimes you can work hard and you can do everything you know to do, and it just seems like a struggle and like you just can't get that breakthrough. You need a rhema word. You need God to speak to you. Yes, you do what the whole counsel of the Word of God says. Yes, you live by the Word of God. But sometimes you also need a word from God for your situation, specifically for you. We need that. What we need is to hear from God. You know, we often quote Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I quote it very often. But the word in this verse where it says the Word of God, it's talking again about that spoken word. It is a rhema word of God. You see, when you get a word from God, real faith comes in your heart. Let me just give you an example from Scripture that you're all familiar with. The Lord spoke to Abraham and told him that he's going to have a son in his old age. It was a rhema word from God. And again, I want you to understand, the Lord can speak to you through the written word about that story. But it doesn't mean that you're going to have a son at 100 years of age. Anybody want to say thank God? Right? What it does mean, what we take from that, is that when God speaks to us, He will do what He says He will do. And even that very passage, you see, so often God takes a verse of Scripture and the Holy Spirit speaks to you through it. All of a sudden, it comes alive to you. It's not just words in a Bible, but all of a sudden, it is like, God just spoke this to me. And you see, God could speak to you when the doctor tells you there's no way that you're going to have a child. And all of a sudden, He takes that story about Abraham and He speaks to you and says, I did it then and I can do it now. You see, that's that living word, that rhema, when God has spoken to me. And when God has spoken to me, you see, you can take it to the bank. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter who opposes it. Whatever happens, if God said it, you know. You see, Abraham was persuaded. He was convinced. Not because his mom and dad told him, not because some friends said so or the preacher said so even, but because he heard from God. He had a word from God. And we need that so often in our life. We need to hear from God. I want you to understand what I'm talking about is not for a spiritual elite. There are always going to be people that God raises up that hear from God, maybe in a special way, and God speaks to them and through them and uses them that way. Yes, that is true. You know, one of those that we read about is the great man Moses that God spoke to face to face as a man with his friend. It's really interesting in Exodus 20:19. The people said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. They were actually afraid of God speaking to them. Now, I don't think that's really a problem much in our culture right now, because if anything, there is a lack of the fear of the Lord. But I see something that's similar, that's very prevalent. It has the same end result. This attitude that's very prevalent is that, well, you know what? We'll just let the real spiritual people hear from God, and they can tell us. I must say again, yes, God uses people. Yes, sometimes the Lord will speak to you through somebody else. Yes, sometimes you need to take heed to the word of the Lord through a preacher or somebody. But everybody needs to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." And I'm going to say this again. Don't you let the enemy try to accuse you and tell you you must not be a sheep. You just need to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. That's what this series is about, to help you do. And if you want to learn to hear the voice of the Lord, don't miss any of it. Some people, you know, they just say, "Well, I'm just not spiritual enough." There's a fix for that. Get right with God. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Fix it. Press in. Why would you want to live life that way? Just some kind of lukewarm relationship with God where you don't really even know Him. No. Make up your mind. You're going to be a spiritual person. That you're going to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Don't play church. I love you. We need to see how important it is that we hear Him. This psalmist got it. Psalm 28 and verse 1, he says, "To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." This guy is desperate to hear the Lord. To him, he has such value of the Lord speaking to him. It's so important to him. It's like life and death to him. If you don't speak to me, I'll be like those that go down to the pit. What if we valued the Lord speaking to us like that? What if we were that desperate to hear from Him? That it was so important to us. It ought to be. We're going to go to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. We're going to spend a while here. So if you have a Bible, you might want to turn there. Of course, you can follow along on the screen. But I just want to encourage you, we got to choose to make hearing God a priority in our life. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, we'll just kind of read through it and then we'll talk about some of it. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed.'" One thing is needed. "Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." One thing is needed. The NIV says only one thing is needed. The Living Bible says there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Another translation says only one thing is necessary. The one thing that is needed is that we hear His word. One thing is needed. One word from God can put you over the top. One word from God can bring reconciliation, restoration. One word from God can bring a blessing upon your family. See, one thing is needed, that we hear His word. So important. As always, Jesus is the perfect example because Jesus had to hear the Father. It was a necessity for Him. He says in John 12:50, "Whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." How did He know what to say? The Father told Him. John 8:29, Jesus says, "I always do those things that please Him." Everything He did was in obedience to the Father. I mean, Jesus had to live in this constant communication with the Lord. It was just a necessity for him. And we need to learn to hear and to know his voice so that we can obey him and do all that he wants us to do. You know, maybe sometimes like the psalmist, we desperately want to hear God, and yet we're not hearing anything. You can't make the Lord speak to you, you know, when you want, how you want. You know, been ignoring the Lord for weeks, and we walk in and say, hey, God, speak to me about this. It doesn't work that way, remember? It's about a relationship. You see, we can't make the Lord speak to us, but the one thing that we can do is we can choose, like Mary did. We can choose to put ourselves in a place, in a position where we can hear from God. The one thing we need is to sit at his feet and hear his word. A word from God can show you how to minister to someone. A word from God can give you peace through the worst storm of your life. You see, now for us, sitting at his feet is to set your attention upon him, your focus upon him, to put aside everything else for the one thing that is needed, turning away from all the distractions. It says that Martha was distracted with much serving. I mean, people today are so distracted from God. I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about people that love God. I'm talking about people that go to church regularly, people that want to serve the Lord, but they're so distracted they can't even hear from God. All that's going on in their life, they're just distracted. Martha was distracted with much serving. Well, I mean, she was making Jesus dinner. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're going to be distracted, that seems like a pretty good reason to be distracted, don't you think? I mean, it sounds really important to me. That's what Martha thought. See, some of us think all of our distractions, all our busyness, it's so very important. I don't have time for sitting and doing nothing. See, it may sound good that she's in there frantically trying to get dinner ready. You know, she's working hard in there in the kitchen fixing dinner. But when the creator of the universe is sitting in your den, you don't want to be in the kitchen. She is distracted. I want you to hear me now. Jesus didn't do what she wanted. He denied her request. And Jesus didn't rebuke Mary. He rebuked Martha for her good. He loved Martha. And he says, Martha, you're distracted by all this. You're troubled and worried about many things. Oh, there's a whole lot of people there, troubled and worried about many things. When he's speaking, you don't want to be doing something else. You want to be listening. And I'm talking about us right now in that place where we are ready for God to speak to us. We have to value that. We got to realize how important it is. Realize that it is the one thing that is needed to sit at his feet and hear his word. Whatever our battle, our struggle, whatever we have to do, we got to get done. There's, you know, one word from God can change everything. Martha's distracted by preparing dinner. She feels the need to present her request to the Lord. Lord, tell my sister to help me. Lord, I'm in here doing this all by myself. Lord, don't you see the struggle that I got going here? Can you see that my husband is not doing right? Can you tell my wife that she needs to help discipline the kids? Lord, do you see how my boss is treating me? Do you see what's going on here with my finances, Lord? Lord, can you? Why don't you do this, Lord? Lord, fix this for me. Here's the prayer life of most people. Here's Jesus' answer to Martha, in the full version. Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. Mary has chosen that better part, and it will not be taken away from her. Here's the short version. Her request was flat out denied. I think sometimes we go to God and we say, God, would you fix this? Would you fix this person? Would you make them do this? And what we're asking, it seems good. It seems right. My sister should help me. My husband should do this. My boss ought to. And the request is denied. Y'all real quiet. I'm right in there where we live right now. Don't look at me like you hadn't had some requests denied. What we need to learn is that our God is bigger than all of that. And God uses people. And He especially uses people that are willing to hear His voice. And you see, what the Lord Jesus talked to her about was her own self. And we may go to God and say, but Lord, see how they're doing? But God will so often want to address our heart. But you see, when we allow God to speak to us, when you get a word from God, it can change everything. You know, in prayer, we go to God and we talk to Him about our problems and our troubles. And here's the thing, what's more important is that we hear from God. Martha was troubled and worried about many things, and I'm going to confess to you this morning, I find myself right there with Martha a lot of the time, just troubled about many things. Troubled about this and that and this thing going on and blah, blah, blah. Troubled about many things. Upset. Wound up. God, please help. Lord, please fix this. But I know what I need. What I need is to sit at His feet and to hear His word. I'll tell you, when we get that, it's a game changer. We're all just all so busy, distracted, frantically trying to take care of the things that we think are so important. And I want to tell you, in all our busyness of life and all our responsibilities, we need to remember the one thing that we really need. See, in this culture we live in, busyness, being busy, is celebrated. I mean, it's like, I'm busy and I'm proud of it. You know, people that aren't busy, they're losers. Come on, that's the way it is here in America. We're busy, you know, we work hard, we're busy, and we're proud of it. People sitting home in front of the TV all day, losers. Just another way to be busy, by the way. But we brag about how busy we are. Too busy to sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm holding a daily devotional book. My mother bought it for me many years ago at a garage sale. And it's my favorite. I love it. Not only because my mom bought it for me, but because of the richness of the devotions. And so often as I read it, God speaks to me through it. I just want to share with you, on one of the opening pages, it says this: it's not much to give God a minute, but in these so-called busy times, a minute is better than no time at all. And then in one of the devotions, it says, man's popular excuse is, I'm so busy. The result is, we forget our true source of strength. As one old saint said, if a man is so busy that he has no time for prayer, he's busier than God Almighty ever intended. Now here's where it gets wild. It was copyrighted in 1931. See, being busy is not a new thing. Not having time to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His word is not a new thing. The truth is that we can always busy ourselves with things that seem important and forget the one thing that is most important. And you know, one of the strange things about this to me is that this was written before all of our modern electronic devices. I mean, you know, all those time eaters, the things supposed to be time savers, but they're really time wasters. I'm talking about the TV and personal computers and the cell phone and a lot of other things. It's amazing how they eat up our time. We're so busy. This was written before all of that. Wow. 2 weeks ago, I told you that 50 or 70 years ago, the average person believed that God spoke to people. In the last 50 to 70 years, that has become less and less and less, even of believers. Most believers don't believe that God will speak to them, that God speaks to people. That's only for crazy people. I want you to hear this. It coincides with the development of modern technology like the TV and the personal computer and the cell phone. I'm not saying those things are evil. I'm saying that they are being used to eat up our time and get us so distracted. Remember, Martha was distracted. She was distracted by much serving. A lot of people today are just distracted by their cell phone. We've all seen pictures of families or friends sitting at a table, and instead of having real conversations, they're all doing this. Listen, if a cell phone can distract you from your family and friends at a table with you, do you think it can distract you from hearing the voice of God? I tell you, even in a service, there are people that are distracted with their cell phone. They're trying to look at something on the internet, or they're texting with somebody else. And the only way God's going to be able to speak to them is if He sends them a text, and it's not going to happen. And I love you. I really do. But I'm not going to watch people just play church. We really do. When we pray at the beginning, I really do believe that God will speak to people. And I know He does. I've heard too many of you talk about how God spoke to you in the service. But we have to be willing. We got to put ourselves in a place where we can hear and not be distracted by all the stuff. Luke 10:39-40, it said, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word, but Martha was distracted with much serving. I tell you, we got to get to the place where we refuse to be distracted by all this stuff. I mean, we all know our ringer. We all know our notification. But do we know the voice of the Lord? How mixed up our priorities are. We read earlier in Psalm 42:2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? We know that God is everywhere. Amen? I mean, God is everywhere. We know that He's always with us. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. But we need to intentionally meet with the Lord. And the psalmist says, when can I go and meet with God? When can I have an encounter with God? When can I have a face-to-face with God? We need a time and a place where we get along with God. You know, Moses talked to God face-to-face as a man with his friend. But the scripture tells us this, that Moses took his tent and set it up outside the camp, out away from everything and everybody else. He calls it the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of meeting. And he goes there to meet with God. And he speaks to God face to face as a man with his friend. Listen, We have to have a time and a place. It needs to be something intentional that I want to hear from God. I want to talk to God. I want to have a face-to-face with the Lord. I know that Moses was a special leader, but I also know that God can speak to any of us. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." You need a time and a place. I don't think you got to be legalistic about it. I don't think it has to be the same time and the same place every day. But most of the time, that's what works best is when you have a pattern, you have a habit, just like Moses did. There's somewhere that you go. And there's a certain time, if you can, that you have a certain time that you meet with the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us that when we pray, we should go to a private place. The King James says, to your closet. But he's telling us specifically, you know, that we shouldn't just pray in public for show, but we should have a private place of prayer. But he says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. See, there's supposed to be a place that you go to for your time with the Lord. Jesus went out early in the morning to get alone with his Father. And I want to tell you, early in the morning works best for most people because you'll have the most distractions. A lot of the time, if it's not early in the morning, it seems like it doesn't happen. We need a time and a place. Need to get alone with the Lord. Turn down all the noise. You know, it needs to be a meaningful conversation where you're talking to God. And this is what me and Carmen have experienced a lot of the time. If we want to have a meaningful conversation with somebody, we go to a quiet restaurant if we can. I mean, you know, sometimes you never know. You go to a restaurant, you think it's going to be quiet, and it's not. But we try to go to a quiet restaurant so we can actually hear each other and, you know, have a real conversation. And I'm just telling you that you need to get in a quiet place. You need to turn off the devices. Get alone with God. It's amazing how people think the whole world's going to fall apart if they turn their phone off for 30 minutes. Y'all don't get so quiet on me. I'm just going to keep going. I go faster if you say amen. Oh, I see how you are. I want us to look at Jesus again as our example. Mark 1:35 through 37, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." I tell you, Jesus got alone. He went out to a solitary place. Sometimes you just got to get alone so you can get with God. See, we think, well, I got responsibilities. I got kids. I got things to take care of. I got things I got to do. Oh, do you want to use that excuse with the Son of God? And all that he had to do. All the people that needed to be healed, that needed to be set free. All the people that needed to hear the words of life. You see, here's the thing. The truth is that Jesus wouldn't have been able to do all of those things if he didn't hear the Father. In Luke 5:15 and 16, it says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." I mean, if Jesus needed to do this, how do we think that we don't? I'm sure that Jesus heard the voice of the Father all the time as he's ministering to people and whatever he's doing. And yes, God can speak to us in the midst of ministry, in the midst of life. God can speak to us at any time. But here's what I know. If we don't have time alone with God, where we really know his voice, it's hard to hear him in the midst of the noise of life. We need that time alone with the Lord, just like Jesus had. You know, starting back in the early 1980s, we started taking our youth group on retreats, and we started this thing on Saturday of the retreat where we would send them out, just tell them to spread out all over the grounds, and you know, in this, and, but nobody could talk to anybody. They couldn't. This wasn't a group thing. They had to be by themselves with their Bible and the Lord. And we told them, you guys, read your Bible and talk to the Lord. And then when we come back together, if any of you want to share something that God put on your heart or spoke to you, you can do that. And here's the amazing thing. Every year that we did that, almost every kid felt like God had spoken to them, that God had showed them something. Many of them, it was the first time in their life that they felt like God had spoken to them. Why? Why is this so special? Because they didn't take their cell phones. They didn't have all those distractions. There wasn't any TV. They walked out there. They didn't even talk to each other. And guess what? They heard from God. And by the way, our youth group still does that at their fall retreat. It's amazing how God can speak to us if we just value and prioritize hearing Him, that we're willing to set everything aside and have a time and a place where we meet with God. You got to value it. The value of something is what determined by what somebody's willing to pay for it. One man told about the first time that he and his wife got to go snow skiing, and they had 2.5 days to snow ski, and their hope was in that 2.5 days they would learn how, because it was their first time. When they got to the place, they knew that they were just 3 hours away from where some friends of theirs lived. And they called them and said, hey, we're over here at this resort, and we just wanted you to know we're over here. We're just 3 hours away from y'all. And the friend on the other end of the phone, he said, well, hey, why don't y'all come over and have dinner with us? And the man knew that it would be 6 hours of driving, and it would end up costing them a day of skiing. And so he just jokingly says to his friend, he says, no, y'all aren't 6 hour friends. A little bit later, the man calls back and he says, we're gonna load up and we're gonna see y'all tomorrow evening for dinner because you're 6 hour friends for us. And the guy was embarrassed, but he learned a lesson. That friendship requires sacrifice sometimes. And I want to tell you, we need to value this relationship with God enough that we make sacrifices to have time with Him. He's worth it. He's so worth it. Whatever it takes, that we know that this is the one thing that I need. Mary sat at His feet, and Jesus said, one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that better part, that good part, and it will not be taken away from her. I want you to know that God is able to work things out. He's able to move. You just put Him first. You let God speak to your heart. You get along with Him. You let the Lord see that your love for Him is more than talk. You get along with God, and you pray, and you read your Bible, and you know, you just sit in the presence of God, and you may get a word from God as you read the Scripture, or something He just says to you, or you might just sit in the presence of God, and you didn't hear anything. That's okay. You are with the Almighty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just to be with Him. Just to be with Him. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray.